This is Thanksgiving week, a great time to cook, shop, and relax. Perhaps to enjoy a great read, even. Local author Lee Eberwine, who recently published her second book in the Saints of Savannah series, joins today's Commute Podcast. Hello, Savannah, and happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at SavannahNow.com. This is the Commute Podcast, and I am your host, Adam Van Brimmer, opinion columnist and a deputy editor at the Savannah Morning News. Today is Tuesday, November the 22nd. My colleague, Due Savannah editor Zach Dennis, handles the interviewing duties today. He speaks with my fellow church parishioner, local author Lee Eberwine, about her latest book, The Blessing of the Celtic Curse. The novel is the second for Eberwine and the second in a series entitled The Saints of Savannah. We'll get to that interview right after a word from our favorite office design firm, National Office Systems. National Office Systems is the Commute's presenting sponsor, and as I've been telling you for a while now, we here at the Savannah Morning News are planning an office move. It's looking more and more like we'll be moving into town again after 17 years out on Chatham Parkway. Personally, I can't wait. Once we settle on an address, our next call is to Scott Center and his team at National Office Systems. They've been helping Savannah businesses with their office needs since the 1980s. National Office Systems offers more than 200 product lines, including a new collaboration from two of the office furniture industry's leaders, Herman Miller and Knoll, known as Miller Knoll. If your office space needs a refresh, National Office Systems can help. Learn more by visiting www.natoffsys.com. That's www.natoffsys.com. Now, here's Zach Dennis with Lee Eberwine.
Joining us on the commute today is Lee Eberwine. She is the author of the Saints of Savannah series. Her most recent one, the latest book, is The Savannah Gondolier. And her first book, Blessing of the Celtic Curse, came out last year. Lee, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So Savannah Gondolier, it's out now. Give us a little bit of an idea, because this is part of the Saints of Savannah series. So there's kind of that through line of Savannah kind of running through it. Give us a little bit of a picture of this book compared to the first one in terms of how it works into that overall picture of Savannah and being that kind of central figure.
Absolutely. Savannah is the central figure for sure. And it's the Saints of Savannah is based on a group of six girls and their friendship over the years and, you know, growing into adulthood. And so the first one is also based in Savannah and had ties to Ireland. Mm-hmm. But the second one also is based in Savannah, but it has the main character is set on Tybee, you know, our beach Tybee, and it has ties to Venice, Italy.
Is Tybee also presents a little bit of a different landscape? Does that kind of play in a little bit, just because, you know, while it's right next door, a little bit different lifestyle landscape out there on Tybee compared to Savannah?
Right. Well, they all went to St. Vincent's Academy downtown. So they all, you know, have the run of the streets downtown and have that as their base. But Tybee does, it brings the relaxation. They're on Tybee time a lot of the time. And just, yes, the different, you know, bars and restaurants down there and the water, the love of the water for sure.
Are these folks that you, are the characters kind of based on people you know, just kind of people that you've seen out on Tybee, locals, people that are just kind of known there as figures of the town?
Well, thank the Lord I write fiction, so they can be yeah. A little bit of everybody I know. But the main characters, yeah, have a lot of different characteristics of my different friends and me. You know, I'm a little bit in each as a writer. You put a little bit of yourself, the, you know, good, the bad, and the ugly in every character. Mm-hmm. But the Tybee people know, you know, they're all fictitious. It's just, as we know, you know, the people of Tybee are, you know, they're hand in hand with the salt water. And so you have the fishermen and, you know, the kayakers, and that's mm-hmm. that was kind of the base of that.
Give it that, that local flair that only somebody who, you know, has lived out there or at least familiar with the area can kind of give it.
Oh yeah. And we all appreciate, you know, thank the Lord is down there, right down the street from us.
Absolutely. Downtown. You still have that kind of central Savannah thing kind of going on. How, you know, you mentioned before, the first book is very, it's kind of Savannah and Ireland. With this one, you mentioned Venice, but I guess what's kind of the you know, Savannah connection in this one in terms of connecting to the broader world, kind of similar to the Savannah, Ireland connection in Celtic Curse?
Yeah. I was blessed to be able to go to Venice like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I'm walking around, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like our waterways. Mm-hmm. So many of them are the same, the marshes and the, you know, and the creeks. I mean, we don't have the canals, but, mm-hmm. you know, we might could work on that.
We're working
Savannah,
on that.
Yeah, they could pull them in. But it's just was so similar. And I just kept comparing Tybee to Venice, Italy. And you wouldn't think that you would, you know, mm-hmm. geographically, I know they're pretty much on the same line, but so yes, globally, it's just so many places in the world are similar, but also that Savannah has so much, you know, they have so many immigrants that can't come in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And we have so many traces of, you know, the Italians and the Irish and the Scottish and the German in our city. And that's what makes it so special and so unique, I think. So that's a little bit of the ties. It's Irish in the first one and the Italian mm-hmm. in the second, and then the ties of the waterways for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure also, cause I've never been to Venice. I'm sure also just the fact that it kind of has that history in the streets, the cobblestones, things like that. It probably all, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, I went to Montreal and it was a very similar, like kind of historic port city, sure. Very same. You walk around the waterfront there and it feels very similar to Savannah.
Yeah, it does. Montreal is beautiful. Venice and, you know, it's the intrigue, you know, Savannah downtown, you walk around and it's a mystery and the intrigue. And like you said, the cobblestones and you don't know really what's around the corner, especially for visitors. But that was Venice too. You walk the streets and you just kind of always are just, I don't know, and it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not Savannah beautiful, but beautiful.
Yeah. It seems like the characters are always visiting familiar spots for people who are in Savannah, whether you're a long time local or just somebody who's, you know, relatively new. Do you try to kind of incorporate that organically, or is it one of those where you just feel like if a character, you know, if this person lived here in Savannah, they would be going to this restaurant?
Yes, pretty much so. Like the tribe, each of the characters have, you know, such, I've created them with just such different characteristics and, mm-hmm. and they, you know, one might like the Italian restaurant and one might mm-hmm. like, you know, Clary's for breakfast, mm-hmm. but, it's just, Savannah has so many wonderful restaurants and places. It's hard to even put them all in there. And people keep saying, oh, are you going to put this place or that place? I said, yeah, eventually, hopefully. But also I love the idea of, you know, you sit around a table at a restaurant mm-hmm. and you can be present to the people across from you. Whereas, you know, in our life right now, people are so busy. And usually when you stop and you sit at even family dinners, you're present to the person across from you. So I love that these girls, they have a lunch every Wednesday and they go to the different places. So I am able mm-hmm. to also show the restaurants and the drinks and the toddies they have there and the special appetizers. And, you know, I'm a foodie too. So.
Yeah. Well, I feel like also it's some of those places, they're so like indebted to the different families and different people here in Savannah that, you know, you go to this restaurant that like your characters do every Wednesday or something like that. And yeah. So it's probably nice to kind of capture that as well, because that's something also with so many new places opening up, so many places closing down, it's kind of nice to have that. That kind of old Savannah flair to it.
Absolutely. And there's so many family owned, you know, mm-hmm. smaller restaurants that are just to die for. And the larger ones open and are just such great ideas. So unique food right now. Savannah's a hot spot definitely for foodies.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, we're getting almost to the point where you know, somebody says, where do you want to go eat? And you're trying to think of something, you're just like, you know, it's one of those things where you're sitting there naming stuff for 30 minutes. We're just like, we just need to pick on something and eat. It's
yeah,
be
you
fine.
Decide. No, you decide. They're all good.
I kind of miss the days when it's like, well, we're going to go here on a Thursday night, because then you had your choice and yeah. saved you a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
So with this one, you know, as you're kind of looking forward into the series, have you grown a little bit more comfortable with just kind of with these characters, you know, kind of their personalities, their traits? How has it been 2 books in, kind of getting to know them and maybe even learning about them as you go along, kind of just in the writing process?
Right. Well, with the first book, I wasn't, the Saints of Savannah really wasn't created till I was halfway trying to pitch the first book to people mm-hmm. and realize, you know, the uniqueness of Savannah and mm-hmm. the, you know, we have a lot of people that transfer in, but the people who grew up here and the uniqueness of keeping the relationship, you know, the people that you skin your knee on when you're riding your bike as a child, and you keep those friendships and you remember those. And it is a uniqueness. And so in kind of pitching that first book around, I've really honed in on that, of the friendships. So over time, I've built each character, you know, they all are, like I told you, they have such different characteristics and they all mesh so well, but they appreciate and respect each other's differences. And it's just been fun. The series has become the first, like I said, the first book wasn't meant to be a series really. And towards the end, right before it was published, I said, you know, this could be a really good series. These women are so unique and they have such love for each other. So it has been fun, bringing out in each book, the individual characters and really showing their differences because they are so different.
Yeah. And I'm sure highlighting those kind of Savannah personalities that, like you said, there's so many people kind of coming into town. There's so many new people that it's nice to kind of go, these, you know, this is also what it was like, you know, to a degree, 25 years ago, 15 years ago, like these are the people, these are the schools you went to, these are the places you went. It's kind of just that nostalgia is nice as well.
Oh yeah. Yes. I think so too. And the new people coming in bring so much, you know, uniqueness. It's all different stories. Yeah. So it's fun to research for sure.
Yeah. Well, you've got two down so far. Number three, I assume, is on the way. Is there anything you have on that one?
It is. Number three is, you know, I go to Scotland on that one, but it has a lot of the Scottish background for sure, but it has more history. You know, it's the General Oglethorpe settling the city and bringing the Scotsman with him who helped. And so it has more history. It's had a lot more research I've had to do for that one. But, you know, the Savannah is just such a wonderful, neat city with so much history that you get lost in where we are now. But if you dig back, you know, you walk around downtown and go, oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
So, yeah. Has the kind of researching the Scottish connections to Savannah been kind of fascinating? Because I feel like that's probably one that gets a little, there is a deep, you know, Scottish historical line here, but I think it's kind of secondary to a lot of other ones.
Yes. It has been so fun researching it, just where Scotland was, you know, in the mid 1700s and the immigrants that came over from Scotland and the people that General Oglethorpe brought with him. And it's been really cool. It's enlightening. I spent more time researching this one than the other two for sure. But the things that I've learned just have been so neat. So I'm going to be able to put them into the book. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just kind of like, I feel like I would rabbit hole a little bit and just get like almost too sucked into the research because it would be fascinating on its own.
And there's so many books I've come across that I need to read this one. You know, just in the process of this writing this one. So it's amazing the different countries, you know, that they're represented here in Savannah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of going more you know, in the writing and publishing process. I mean, you're still pretty new to the game. What have you kind of learned now that you've, you know, have two books under your belt so far? What have you learned in terms, not just about kind of yourself and your writing process, but just in general, what it takes to kind of write a novel like this?
Well, definitely the research. Writing fiction has been, I would say, an easier on me because, you know, the fact checking, it doesn't have to be exact, but you know, but as far as writing, I've just learned there's so many different ideas and so much research to be done on each of them, but to continue to learn, you learn on every step you go through. Mm-hmm. So with the first one, you know, I have a finished manuscript, but there's millions of people that haven't finished manuscripts that wind up in a drawer. Mm-hmm. And so it is researching, you know, your options, always educate yourself further, whether it's in your writing or what you do with your writing and you know, how you're going to publish it. But there's just so much more to learn. You know, every week I'm, oh my gosh, didn't know that with, you know, the process, writing and publishing. So I don't know if I answered.
No, you did. Cause you know, I have people who I know who are, you know, trying to write books as well. Yeah. And they're kind of working on that first draft. And then, you know, they get that first bit of notes and it's just a lot of red and they're like, oh, it's awful. And you're like, no, that's that first edit. And then they do the second and third drafts. And it's just kind of that, learning that process of you're killing some darlings a little bit at the beginning, but by the end you're kind of like, yeah, this is what I envision.
Okay, so you know him saying killing some darlings. Yes, that's something that yeah. Only writers really know. It that process is hard, and it changes so fast. The my original first book is nowhere what was published for sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, my husband's like, well, what happened to this person or that person? I was like, yeah, they're not in there anymore. So the killing your darlings is huge, but the editing, yes, gosh, it's hard. But there are so many. I would tell another writer to find your writing community, find your mm-hmm. Your writing partners. Find people that don't mind saying, oh, this is awful, or, hey, I really like this part. This is hilarious. Build on that. So doing things alone or is 100 times, harder. To share your load with others is so much better. And it seems like anybody I've come across in the writing publishing world are very eager to share what they know. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's like when they have success, you have success, and they build each other up, mm-hmm. which is beautiful in and of itself in this. So I would just say continue to write and continue to scribble all the ideas you have, because you never know which one's going to be the bestseller. Yeah. For sure.
That's what's kind of nice I found about Savannah as well, is there's a gazillion writers here. Yes. But they're all doing different stuff. And so it's, you talk to the nonfiction writers, you talk to the academic writers, you talk to the fiction writers, people who have written children's books, there's so many different writers doing different things that I think that helps as well, because it provides different perspectives also. You kind of can have a group where there's a variety of different people. It's not just all novelists. And I think that's a nice thing about living here, is that, you can throw a rock and hit somebody, somebody who is also writing, and kind of find that group that you're talking about.
Oh yeah. And that there's people that want to read everything, mm-hmm. That everything that's written, somebody wants to read, and you get so stuck in the, I want to have, be rated this, or I want a million readers or be a bestseller, but there's somebody that wants your writing to entertain them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I think finding that audience, finding that, those people who are interested in the topic, that's somewhat of the nice thing about the internet now, is that there are always people who are interested in something, and generally aligns with what you're interested in. And so finding that is a lot easier than it was probably, 20 years ago.
Agreed. Yeah. It's really cool.
Have you found that just in people, are you getting stopped on the street now of like, oh, I read Blessing or something like, are you getting that now where people are recognizing you, or at least recognizing your work to a degree?
Yes. In Savannah, definitely. Mm-hmm. As far as outside, I'm not sure quite as much, mm-hmm. but so many people, I know I'm that character. Or, mm-hmm. everybody's, have a little bit of narcissism in them. But they can relate to, especially the people in Savannah, I can relate to that person, mm-hmm. or I can relate to that person, and everybody, hey, did you write about this family? I remember that,
Yeah.
So yeah. It's
been funny. At least they're, at least they're going, I think I'm that character, rather than Lee, I'm really interesting. You should really add me to your next one.
I have found that people want to stop me and tell me stories more, mm-hmm. which I'm that's how I kind of started with all this. I just love people's stories. I scribble it all down and really investigate things that are interesting to me. But yeah, people want to share their stories, which is beautiful. I love to hear them.
So. Yeah. Is that just coming from going to the store, going to church, things like that, just watching people in the park? I mean, is that just kind of just stuff that you're seeing on your day-to-day, just kind of your routine?
Oh yes, most definitely. And even now I'm getting direct emails. Hey, mm-hmm. did you know this about, not really about me, but have you ever heard about this, mm-hmm. or that, which is great, because I want it. So many people say, oh, I've got a story. Will you write it for me? Mm-hmm. This is a great story. Will you write it for me? Which I wish I could. No, I wish I had time to. I said, sure. No, write it down and get it to me.
Yeah.
And then I can look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, for the most part, that's all I had. I mean, what's, other than kind of a third book coming up, what else do you kind of have coming down the pipeline that people can kind of expect from Lee, number one?
Well, really the third book, and I have, there's going to be six in this series, so mm-hmm. I'll be writing continually. It seems like forever right now, the research, but also, I opened a publishing company with doing number one, the book, first book, and it's called Old Fort Press. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking submissions right now. I wanted to kind of get a couple books under my belt, but they seem to keep finding me anyway. So like I'm reading a couple of manuscripts right now. I'm working with a couple of people. But I think I want to be able to help the Savannah community and our, and, you know, Southern writers, just mainly fiction. That's kind of where, you know, my knowledge is, obviously, but to get their, you know, their writing into books, or to lead them on how to do that. So that's my what's next, after, especially after the series, for sure. But that's my what's next with Old Fort Press.
Yeah. And how is that? Have you found, you know, reading manuscripts, reading other people, talking with other people, has that kind of helped your own writing, where you're going like, oh, that's a really kind of just again, kind of building off those other writers and other, those other ideas and kind of that creative flow?
It has. I have seven children. I have read all their essays and all the reports over the years. Yeah. And so many times, you know, they'll send it to me and I automatically want to go to the fix it mode, which isn't my place to. And that's kind of where I'm trying to find my boundaries with reading other manuscripts.
Keep the red pen over there.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Because really they just, I'm looking for the readability of it. And, you know, what suggestions I might have for them to, you know, their next steps. So it has been fun. As far as their ideas, there's so many creatives out there, and the manuscripts I've been sent are totally different than the things that I write. So it's been really enlightening to, you know, be around people who have actually finished a manuscript. I mean, that in and of itself, that's huge, you know, pat yourself huge on the back. But I really would like to help them get there and into the books for sure.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, Blessing of the Celtic Curse, as well as the Savannah Gondolier, I'm going to promote that they're in not only on your website online, but also in local booksellers. You can go to eShavers or Book Lady and find them there. But Lee, thank you so much for coming in. I guess we'll have to set a time and date for number three and
awesome.
Revisit this.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's been fun to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Adam here again. Many thanks to Zach and Lee for that interview. If you don't have your copy of The Blessing of the Celtic Curse, go to leeeberwine.com. You can link to purchase right there at that website. That's all for this edition of the Commute Podcast. Thanks one last time to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Before I sign off, remember that we publish new Commute episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, except for this week, Thanksgiving. Whatever your interests, you will find interviews of interest in our archives. Search The Commute with That Savannah Opinion on your favorite podcast app. The Commute returns next Tuesday as we ramp up for the final weeks of the high school football playoffs and the U.S. Senate runoff election on December the 5th. In the meantime, enjoy the Thanksgiving weekend.